Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Tornado season in South Dakota starts now. Every May, South Dakota sees around 7 to 8 tornadoes, and that number usually doubles in June. Ryan Leake is a meteorologist with the National Weather Service in Aberdeen. He joins us now on the phone. Ryan, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Tell us when you're able to see a tornado, what are you actually seeing? When you look at one and you see stuff, is it just debris that you're seeing?
Yeah, so it can be a combination of debris, or it can be kind of a condensation, just some water vapor that dips down from the cloud. Typically, if that circulation moves over, say, a field or something like that without anything to loft, you're probably just going to see that condensation funnel that's reached down to the ground. But if it's going over a dusty field, or if it's moving through trees, or you know, some other surface that has objects that can be picked up and lofted, of course, then you're going to be seeing that debris and then maybe a darker appearance to the tornado. But basically just the objects that are in the wind, you know, that's what you're observing.
And hopefully you're not too close to see that too well. Tell us a little bit about why these storms are so dangerous. And from a tracking standpoint, how hard is it to predict and track tornadoes?
Yeah, so, you know, tornadoes are notoriously difficult to predict. We have several things that we look for when it comes to the more favorable thunderstorms that will produce tornadoes. We need an environment that's going to be very muggy with a lot of moisture. We need some instability, so how quickly will the air rise? We need something that will, you know, loft the air up and get it moving in the first place, so like a cold front or some kind of lifting mechanism. And the most important is shear. So if we have shear in the environment, that's going to get those thunderstorms to rotate. And so that's the four basic ingredients that we look for in thunderstorms to produce, have the potential to produce tornadoes. But, you know, when it comes to whether or not a given thunderstorm is going to produce a tornado or not, it kind of has more to do with some subtle factors within the thunderstorm itself. It's kind of like, you know, if you picture Goldilocks, or if you think about Goldilocks porridge, you know, not too hot, not too cold. That's kind of the way it works with thunderstorms and tornado production. So we can, you know, have a good idea on generally which thunderstorms have potential, but, you know, it's some fine scale factors that really determine whether or not a tornado develops.
And how much has that science really improved?
Oh, a ton. It's getting better with every year as well. So, you know, back in the 1950s, before 1950, you know, tornado wasn't allowed to be used in a forecast because it was considered to be, you know, cause more kind of chaos and panic than it would do any good. So since then, we've really dove into the science, and we've made huge strides in, you know, being able to identify the environments that are favorable for tornado development. We have technology that can actually track the wind, in some cases, of the tornado itself. It's radar and our Doppler radar. So that technology has improved quite a bit. We can see with our radar sometimes if you get debris that's lofted by a tornado, you can actually see the debris on the radar. It's called like a debris ball. And so when that gets lofted up into the air, we have a product that can identify that as well. So we have a lot of great tools, a lot of great science that goes into the tornado forecasting and detection.
And what do you wish that you had that you don't have yet?
That's 8-ball that, you know, tells us exactly where and when. But,
yeah.
Again, it's such a fine-scale process where that day of pinpointing exactly where and when, you know, a day in advance or even, you know, several hours in advance, might not be here for a while.
Yeah. All right, let's talk the basic safety stuff that we do every time this year, and that's, you know, how do people sort of prepare and, you know, starting from, you know, this, you know, it's a tornado watch, you know, what do you sort of want people to be keyed into?
Yeah, you know, the watch is where it begins. That's kind of the first sign where conditions are favorable. It doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be storms or you know, severe weather, tornadoes. For instance, we had a watch out just last night that was across northern South Dakota, and we had some thunderstorms, but the severe weather, for the most part, stayed across North Dakota. But it's a heads up that, you know, the conditions are favorable. At that point, you want to just kind of be thinking about where am I going to be over the next, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. You know, where's the family? You know, if you're at home, you can kind of start thinking about what would you do if severe weather started to move in. That's when the warning phase comes in. And so a warning means that severe weather is either imminent or ongoing. And that's when you have a lot less time to kind of start considering what your plan is. So that's why we always tell people it's best to have an action plan. You know, you want to have a place where you've identified where you want to go. In the event that severe weather, you know, moves over, and it can move in quick. You know, sometimes storms can move 50, 60 miles per hour. So, you know, the place you want to go when it comes to strong straight line winds or tornadoes, you want to go to the most interior room of the lowest floor of your house, basically putting as many walls between you and the outside as possible. And, you know, if you live in a mobile home, you want to know where your nearest storm shelter is. You don't want to be caught in a mobile home when it comes to, you know, enduring winds of 100-plus miles per hour. And vehicles are, likewise, not a good place to be. So in addition to just having a plan and knowing where to go if severe weather is on your doorstep, we always advise that you have a way to receive warning information. The more sources, the better. So if you have access to radio, TV, your cell phone, or weather radio, you know, all great tools to be aware of what's coming and what's going on out there.
All right, so if you are in your car, what are some of the safety precautions you can take if you just plain old see a tornado?
Yeah, so, you know, unfortunately, tornadoes generally will move in, you know, say from a southwest to a northeast direction, but they can be erratic. So it's not really advised. The best advice is not to be put yourself in that situation in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to be out on the road in the vicinity of strong storms and tornadoes. But, you know, obviously if you can try to identify the path of the tornado, try to go in the opposite way. If it looks like it's coming, you know, right for you, you'd want to try to, you know, in some cases it's better to get out of the car and try to find a low-lying ditch mm-hmm. To go into. One thing that we don't advise is to go under overpasses. They won't provide protection from the winds.
Hmm. All right, Ryan Leake. Well, thank you for joining us today, and thanks for keeping us safe and letting us know what's ahead.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you.